Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, raw feeders. It is Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble. Right, my friend Neely Piazza, top pet nutritionist ever.
Absolutely.
Absolutely,
no you are. No kibble for you.
No kibble for you. That's right. No kibble for you. Hey, so we were talking right before the podcast because Lozzie's in heat, right? She's having her period. And we were discussing whether dogs have cramps. We don't
know. We can't decide.
We can't decide, but we have this great product called your go-to. It's a go-to first aid because it just has arnica in it and some other little things like that. And so
I think it has aconite, which is a good for immediate trauma and things like that. So,
well, periods are immediate trauma for sure.
Exactly.
Right. So. And only women know that.
I know. Right.
Just going to state that right out loud.
I don't know. I guess there's a few men that could have immediate trauma if they say the wrong thing.
That's right. Smackadoo. All right. All right. Hey, so Niels, I mean, a lot of people seek your advice, including me. So I want to cover something today that you and I look at a lot in regards to the human side, but I think it's so important.
Relevant to dogs.
Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. It's relevant to living beings, right?
Yeah, it's relevant to the whole world.
It's relevant to the whole world. It's called terrain theory versus germ theory. Now, I was talking to one of my friends the other night. They had no earthly idea what the heck I was talking about. You know?
So that's something that I've been going on about for to some extent for years. I mean, anybody that's listened to me knows my view on vaccines in general, and you know that the whole and antibiotics for that matter, it doesn't make sense, right? So germ theory basically says that one germ, one disease, and everything is going to be somewhat simplified, but how do you use that? You capitalize on it, just like what's kind of happening now and what has always happened and how Big Pharma got so big to start with. But it's never made sense to me. There's no logic to it. It doesn't make sense. If germ theory were true, we'd all be dead because we're surrounded by germs. We're surrounded by bacteria. We're surrounded by, if you want to call them viruses, but that's a whole nother discussion. The particles that they have named viruses, but they don't do what people generally think. I mean, the whole contagion thing, you know, diseases pass from one person to another, one animal to another by the passage of germs per se. It makes zero sense. That's not the way it works. It's basically the best way to look at it, I think, is the bacteria and bacteria are they look into polymorphism. They change shape. They change function, all that kind of thing. So it's not that the bugs cause the disease. It's that the disease caused the bugs. So you have those bugs already present, right? And bacteria, I mean, think about it. What do? They are on decaying and rotting things, right? So it's not that the bacteria cause that. It's they're cleaning that up. So if you kill, which is why when you have a set of symptoms going on and you give antibiotics to take away the bugs, the symptoms will go away, but they come back, usually with a vengeance, and it becomes this never-ending cycle. Is because you're not letting the body clean itself. Now, what does make you sick is, you know, you get a huge proliferation of those germs or whatever you want to call them, and their own byproducts, you know, their
feces.
Exactly. Yeah, basically. So they release toxins as part of their metabolic process. So that's where the toxic part comes from. But germs, bacteria, viruses, or exosomes, which, like I said, that's a whole nother thing. They don't cause disease. They're not passed from animal to animal. That's not the root of sickness. And sickness itself, I mean, symptoms themselves, is not really the sickness, it's the healing process. And if you interrupt that healing process, the body's never heals. So you end up with, I mean, that's why there's so much chronic disease and all that. So it basically boils down to toxic load. So the more toxic load a body has, and, you know, each individual has a different threshold, but those bugs are trying to help us overcome that and to detoxify that. So this whole war on germs and war on bacteria and war on quote unquote viruses is basically a war on humanity. So, or, you know, species in general. So people need to think about that logically. It doesn't make any sense. Now, I'm not saying that things are not passed from person to person or animal to animal or whatever, but it's not the way that we've been indoctrinated to think.
Would they, you know, say that? Would Thomas Cowan and Andy Kaufman say that you can pass something from person to person?
Yeah, well, Dr. Cowan usually well, Kaufman says it too, but I mean, they say, well, if it's not the germs making you sick, what is it? Well, nobody knows because nobody has studied it. So just because you say you can prove something is not correct doesn't put the onus on you to have an answer for what is correct. That's not the way that works. It's very provable that viruses, bacteria, whatever, do not cause disease and are not contagious between organisms. That's easily provable and has been proven if you just look for it. But we don't know what the real mechanism is because it's not been studied, because it's been the whole Rockefeller Medical Institution and all that, where they put all the homeopathic schools out of business back in the late 18, early 1900s. Look at your medical history. But anyway, one of the things that they suggest, and since I am kind of in the, have always believed the whole collective consciousness and energy is everything and everything is energy, you can definitely pass something energetically to another person if they're within your energetic field. Why do you think they want that 6 foot apart, stand 6 feet apart? It doesn't have anything at all to do with passing germs from each other. That's how far on average your heart energy extends. I don't want to say aura because that's not really what it is, but that, for a person, that's how far out their heart energy, is a good way to say it, extends. So they don't want people interacting with each other like that. So things are a lot more complicated, but also a lot simpler than what we've been led to believe. So
so here's a question. Question. When the fish is sick.
Oh, yeah.
Because this comes from Dr. Young's site, and I love this. He says, when the fish is sick, what do you do? Do you treat the fish or change the water?
Exactly. So basically, germ theory would say you vaccinate the fish, terrain theory would say you clean the tank. So some places, people that are interested in this, you really should look into it because it makes everything make so much more sense. So Dr. Andy Kaufman, Dr. Thomas Cowan, Dr. Robert Young, Dr. Samantha Bailey, Dr. Lee Merritt, those are the ones that come right off the top of my head. Those are good people to look into. Look at the Pasteur versus Beauchamp argument, or not argument, but history, basically. Look at the medical history, how the Rockefeller Foundation hijacked it and steered it, well, Standard Oil basically steered it towards allopathic medicine because that was the way to make money. You'll find a lot of interesting things about eugenics and Gates and all that kind of stuff in that whole subject also. This is stuff's coming out now that I've been jumping up and down and yelling and screaming about for years, and everybody thought that I was crazy. Well, they probably still think I'm crazy, but at least there's a little more available evidence now. But
you're a good crazy. You're good crazy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
you know what? It is so crazy because, you know, Neely, this is why you've always said, look, don't put antibiotics in your dog unless they're on death's door, is basically what you said, right? Don't put flea and tick. Don't put heartworm. Don't feed them kibble. Why? Because it's all about keeping your tank clean.
Right. Exactly. And all those things are toxic and they're unnecessary. The body is designed to live in harmony with all these things. And when there are problems, it's because there's an imbalance somewhere and there's an imbalance of toxic load somewhere. And there's toxic things that we can't avoid. And the environment that we live in now is so polluted in all kinds of ways that there's things that we're not even aware of that there's no way to avoid, but there are things that, you know, are toxic. Kibble's one, vaccines are one. Any kind of preventive medication is one. Those are the big ones. And then, you know, you have pesticides and herbicides with the glyphosate and, you know, tap water. Don't ever drink or give your dog water straight from the tap. It needs to be, it's a minimum filtered. So all those things that you do have control over, stay away from, because the body has enough problems dealing with the toxins that we don't have any control over. Definitely don't add more to it. And the nutrition side is your basis for everything. If the body doesn't have good nutrition and all the building blocks and clean food that it needs to function properly, it definitely can't deal and detox with these other things. And when your dog gets sick, has got a snotty nose, or it's got goopy eyes, or it's got diarrhea or something like that, don't run to the vet. They're going to stop the symptoms. And what did I just say 5 minutes ago? Those symptoms are the healing process. It's the body healing itself, ridding itself of that toxic load. And the presence of bacteria, yeah, there's going to be bacteria. There's bacteria everywhere. All these people that are afraid of salmonella or afraid of E. coli or all that kind of stuff, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. That's why I've been saying that the FDA has got it in for all raw companies because they have a quote-unquote zero tolerance for bacteria. Well, that's impossible. Impossible. I mean, every surface, there's more bacterial cells and bacterial DNA in your body than there are human cells. So it's not achievable, and it's ludicrous to even think that way. Like I said, without the bacteria and without the viruses or exosomes or whatever you want to call them, again, discussion for another day. we'd all be dead. Period.
Right.
And right. And people look at it the other way. We got to kill all the germs. No, you need them. They're our friends.
They're our friends. I think that it's very difficult for people to see their dogs having diarrhea, vomiting, doing whatever they're doing, because we have a belief system that says, if I don't stop it, they're going to die. And we look at it differently, right? You say, let it come out.
That way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've been indoctrinated.
Oh, snap.
Tune in tomorrow for the second part with Neely Piazza.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.